All right, so y'all are in for a real treat tonight, okay? We've got an amazing main speaker this evening, and I would like to invite Shelby to come up and introduce our speaker.
Shelby!
My name's Shelby and I'm an addict. So I get the honor and privilege of introducing the Saturday night main speaker. And what I can say about this gentleman is that I met him when I had about between 60 and 90 days clean. He was a speaker at a meeting called Keeping It Real on the West Side in Modesto, California. And as we were closing the meeting, we were huddling up or whatever, and we were holding hands, and I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, my hands are cold." And this member told me, "Cold hands equal a warm heart." And ever since then, like, that saying's always stuck with me, and it's been a blessing to have this friend of mine part of my recovery, and I'm just excited for y'all to hear him. And here is Larry P. out of Atlanta.
My name is Larry. I'm definitely a grateful recovering addict. I'm grateful to the predecessors of Narcotics Anonymous who stuck around here long enough to help me save my life. What I gotta remember is if I don't want to save my life doesn't get saved. Doesn't matter what you do for your recovery. They told me when I was early in recovery, they said Narcotics Anonymous is not sexually transmitted and you can't get it through osmosis. The program of Narcotics Anonymous is a contact sport. And if you are not connecting with people, you will isolate and die. We need each other. Listen, I don't like none of you people in here. Because to like you, I got to know you. But what they did for me is they loved me until I learned how to love myself. See? Because the reality of it is I don't know your walk. But because you're an addict like I'm an addict, I love the suffering addict. So loving the suffering addict sometimes is hard. Because we are some self-willed individuals. And we will take whoever we want to take with us because we don't feel good about ourselves. But for me, they let me bump my head as many times as I needed to. Until they asked me, was I tired? So listen, I just want to, all the newcomers, could you please stand up? Newcomers, please. Message for you. Newcomers are the most important people at any meeting. Wait, it says because. Understand there's a caveat to why y'all are important. Because we can't keep what we have unless we give it away. The newcomer is the lifeblood of Narcotics Anonymous. And if you don't stay, Narcotics Anonymous might die. So we need you to continue to carry this life-saving message to the addicts that come behind you. So I'm going to tell you what they told me. I wish you a slow recovery. Slow, extra slow. Because you're going to go through some things in here. And if you ain't got an older member, if you ain't got an old timer, if you're not in their pocket, find one and jump in. Jump in their pocket. So listen, I'm not going to make no excuses. I am a product. I am a product. I am a product of the literature. The literature for me is a love letter sent through time so that the addict that comes into the room, what's today, the 12th? 14. March 14th, 2026, the addict can pick up our basic text and find a way out. Right? They didn't leave it with people, because if you ever play telephone, you know, like me, I could start from here and get over there, and it's not what was said. So they decided to put it in written terms. So here's a gentleman talking about, where's he at, Cornbread, talking about read the black parts. That's what they told me when they gave me the basic text. They said read the black parts, and then you read it enough to where you start to be able to read between the lines. Where the literature starts talking to you as you're studying it. This is a textbook. It's meant to be studied. Don't be ashamed. You know, you want to be a rocket scientist, you pick up books that deal with becoming a rocket scientist. You want to be a doctor, you pick up books in your field of study to become a doctor. You want to be a recovering addict, you pick up the books that concern with recovery. This is it. I'm here to understand that I'm not in a drug program. This is not school. This is a new way to live. Like Terry said, what he knew about living almost killed him. So I had to get my brain washed and get a new idea on how to live life. But understand, for me, I had to understand which came first, the trauma or the using.
Yeah.
See, understand, drugs wasn't my first manifestation of my disease. Was not the first. Fantasy was. Because I grew up in a horrific childhood. And I needed fantasy to take me out of my present reality. But when fantasy stopped working, because it all stops working, I turned to other things. And after it was fantasy, it was arson. After arson, it was destruction. I used to break things and burn things.
Yeah.
And then on that fatal day, I found the substance. And it doesn't matter what substance. It was the substance. It was the first thing I took, I put in my body that immediately I did the famous addict creed. Fuck it. We've all said it from day. If you're in this room, I know you said it many times. Know that the decision is going to take you to impending doom. Fuck it. We'll deal with it when it comes up. I'm going to do what I want to do. So listen, man, it's really simple for me, man. I don't put Narcotics Anonymous to my life. I put my life to Narcotics Anonymous, which means that the principles of the program guide me in my everyday life. I'm not telling you I'm perfect. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is y'all told me to practice in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Make all your mistakes here. Newcomer, listen to me. Make all your mistakes here. So we can help correct them. So when you go out there, you don't make fatal mistakes.
Yeah.
That's what they told me. Make all my mistakes here. Because here y'all can correct me. Here, we don't take everything personal. We may be mad for a time or two. We may be upset with your decision-making process. But we never stop loving you. And if you like me, the first thing that had me keep coming back was the hug that I got when I walked through the door. I didn't want you to know my name. I didn't want to talk to you. Give me my damn hug and leave me alone. Because if you like me, you was starved for affection.
Yeah.
And that hug, a loving hug, could be the difference in an addict's life. And for me, it was, man. For me, that hug let me know that I mattered. coming from a place where I didn't think that I didn't feel love, I didn't feel wanted, I didn't feel needed, I didn't feel safe, and I didn't feel taken care of. And we're talking about at the end of the road. When I was homicidal, I walked in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and all my broken pieces fit back together. Just from a hug, man. I don't know if y'all understand the transformation that happens when you hug somebody heart to heart. When you try to break their goddamn back giving them a hug. I don't know. That's the hugs that I got. Those are the hugs that I give. I don't give the one arm. I don't give the half. I want a full pull. I didn't take a half a pull off the pipe, off the joint. I didn't take a half a sip. Give me all mine. And if you don't want to hug me, don't worry about it. We could just do the head nod. I'm not gonna love you any less because you don't want to hug me. But if you're gonna hug someone, mean it. Because you don't know what that person is going through. And you don't know if that hug could change the trajectory of their life in that moment. See, Narcotics Anonymous gave me the skill to live life moment to moment. And I don't carry those moments with me, man. Because when I carry those moments, I create suffering. And they told me pain is mandatory, suffering is optional. I don't have to suffer. And because I don't have to suffer, I choose not to. So I tell y'all everything. But listen, our literature is really simple. And it even tells us in the symbol. Symbol is really one of my favorite parts of this, of our literature. But in the symbol, it gives me something. It tells me what Narcotics Anonymous is. First word in our literature is simplicity is key to our symbol. It imitates the simplicity of our program, our fellowship. This is not complicated. It's not. Monkey see, monkey do. That's how this program works. If you think you know better and you just got here, let me know how it worked out for you. But I follow the members that have faced my dilemma and have found a way out. We're not talking about perfection. We're talking about people that are reasonably happy, joyous and free. That are not fighting demons. That are not angry for no reason. Like I had a member ask me today, how you doing? I said, listen, thank God I'm on the wake-up list. None of this shit matter if I'm not on the wake-up list. Game over. But when I get on the wake-up list, there's some things I can do. Right? I got my power of choice back. So I make the decisions today for the life I want tomorrow. I don't just let it happen or happenstance. No. I make a decision. And because I make a decision, the decision that I make is, and that I made is, not to be angry. Not to live in trauma. Not to create unrealistic expectations and try to extrapolate things from people that they don't have. And in this program, I've learned a lot of things about Larry. See, this ain't about you. I'm here to carry this transformation message of what Narcotics Anonymous did for me. And hope that it could do it for you. If it don't, it's okay. Just stay. Stay in the fight. But see, Narcotics Anonymous revealed to me that I am an individual that suffers childhood trauma. And in that trauma, I made some decisions as a child that this will never happen to me again. Yeah. Whatever it was. And I wouldn't allow people to get close enough to me. Everybody was the enemy. And because everybody was the enemy, I was always fighting a war with a world that I thought was hostile, only to find out that the world wasn't hostile, I was hostile. Because my feelings got hurt at such a young age that I thought that everybody was gonna do it. So I didn't let you get close enough to hurt me. I always kept everybody with a 10-foot pole. And I made sure I acted accordingly where you didn't want me around you. And those I found out were all defense mechanisms. Because I'm a scared little boy that thinks that you're going to hurt him again. And I can't afford that. But see, the program gives you some principles. See, our program is a program written so simply we can live it in our everyday life. It's not complicated. These spiritual principles are not found in our literature. I've been watching children play all day. Watch them. Watch them exercise spiritual principles and they don't even know what they're doing. Because it's our nature. Based on our experience, we believe every addict, including the potential addict, suffers from incurable disease of body, mind, and spirit. We're in a grip of a hopeless dilemma. The solution, which is spiritual in nature. Therefore, this book deals with spiritual matters. So I asked myself, why would I need a book for spiritual matters if I'm trying to heal my humanness? Oh, but what I found out was the human doesn't exist without the spirit. And I know we've all seen the spirit leave the body when they say, oh, he's brain dead. That means the power has left the building. And the only way that they stay alive is they got to be hooked to machines, and the minute they take them off, they're no longer here. Well, when the power source leaves the meat suit no longer exists. So which is more important? The vehicle or the power source? See, I understand that my spirit is more important than what houses it. So I used this program to heal my fractured spirit. Because when I was a little kid, I didn't know what I had, and they broke me spiritually. You know, I had a mother who was 15 years old when she had me. 17 when she had my sister. She ran away from home at 11 years old. And at 21, she told my father he could leave. She stopped her nurturing process at 11. What 11-year-old do you know can nurture two children by themselves? Yeah, that's what my childhood looked like. When I say I survived my childhood, but what I get to understand is that nothing happens to me, everything happens for me. Everything happens for me. Like, I don't know if you know, but you have an assignment on your life. Some of y'all have found it, some of y'all haven't. But this power, like we talk about God in here, our literature defines the God that we're talking about. And the God that we talk about is a power that makes the impossible seem possible. That's the power we're talking about. That's the God we're talking about. We're not talking about the religious God. We're not talking about the program of the world. We're talking about that power that makes the impossible seem possible. You know, I know y'all have had some impossible things that, some impossible obstacles you have stood against, only to see that it wasn't as big as I made it. That power, the power that lies in each and every one of you. And I found my gift here in Narcotics Anonymous, and then through prayer and meditation, what I was told is my gift ain't for me. It's for you. And your gift ain't for you. It's for us. I'm here to be of service to not only Narcotics Anonymous, but to the whole human race. That's why we're here. We're here to express and show love in every manifestation possible. I don't know if you know, but tough love is love. And I'm the addict that I needed tough love. I needed them to tell me, sit down, shut the F up, and follow directions. I needed that. Because I was a newcomer that had all the answers and knew none of the questions. And every time you told me something, I said, I know. I know. I know. I know. And then one day they said, if you know better, then why are you not doing better? And what I found out is that when I told you I know, what I was really telling you is shut up, I got it. But I didn't know nothing about this program. I didn't know how to live. See, Narcotics Anonymous has given me a lens to see the world through. You know, like in the fellowship I come from, they talk about that 14-inch drop from seeing the world from my head to my heart. And when I made that transition, what happened is colors were more vibrant. People wasn't as effed up as I thought they were. People wasn't as cynical as I thought they were. What it allowed me to see is it allowed me to see the pain that people go through and not convict them because of their pain. And understand that we all go through something. But what I also had to learn was ain't nobody getting out of here alive. Everybody's dead. But it's about how do you live in between the dash? Will people remember you for making them feel good? Or will people say, ah, that mother effer? Or when they speak your name, will their spirit smile that they knew who you were? See, I shoot for the latter. I want people to remember that. Yeah, sometimes he can be an asshole. But he did it from a good place. I didn't do it to be mean, but sometimes people need that foot on their back just to understand that we love you, but we're not going to love you to death. We're going to love you to life. So we do here in Narcotics Anonymous. We love each other to life. And newcomer, if you think you don't belong here, we got a chapter called What is a Narcotics Anonymous Program? And in that chapter, it says, we don't care how much, how little you have, who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much, how little you have. All we care about is what is your problem and how we can help. We have eliminated every excuse you can use not to feel a part of. Right. If you don't feel a part of, that's your choice. We have made you welcome. And there is no excuse you can use where we would tell you to get out of here. This is the only place I've ever been where I tell my deepest, darkest secrets and y'all applaud me. Good job! Yay! Keep coming back! The only place I have ever been where I tell you my sickest secrets and y'all tell me, good job, keep coming back. Only here in Narcotics Anonymous. You can't go to church, you can't go to your job, can't tell the police, can't tell the judge. There's no other place that congratulates us on telling our secrets. So I don't keep none. They told me my secrets keep me sick. And I don't want to be sick in a life-saving program. So I tell you my secrets. So the 12-step process is an inside job with outside help. And I'm not talking about my sponsor, outside help. He's just the guy to help me gather the information. You, the ultimate weapon, you are my help. Right? We are our eyes and ears. Literature also reminds me sometimes I can't spot self-deception. So I need you to know the exact nature that I suffer from so when I'm off my square, you can snap me into place by telling me some things that you know I may not want to hear, but you got enough courage to tell me. Because to show somebody you love them is not to watch them kill themselves.
That's right.
To show them you love them is to tell them when they're going off the rails. And no matter how they might take it, it's none of my business. I'm only responsible for the effort, not the outcome. The minute I put my hands on the outcome, I'm living in self-will. And when I found out about self-will, self-will is tricky. Because in step one, it tells me that my disease is selfish and self-centered in nature, right? But what I found out, what activates my disease is my need to fix, manage, and control every aspect of my life. And when I try to fix, manage, and control every aspect of my life, step one says, once control is suggested, I'm out of control. So I had to take a look at why, Larry. Why do you want to fix, manage, and control every aspect of your life? Because I still live in fear of my needs not getting met. Which means my second step is broke. I don't have a belief in that power. That wants better for me than I want for myself. And many people, that's where their program is going to. Many people that have interacted with me, that second step is important. It keeps me from being egotistical and prideful. It keeps me from separating myself from you and understanding that you are my help. But it reminds us that many people go over this step with a minimum of concern, only to find out the rest won't work. We're not in step 9, we're in step 2. Right? They said step 1, I got to do perfectly. Don't pick up. But step 2 is about a power greater than me, because the disease is a power greater than me. And for me, the power greater than me is you. Listen, I'm a recovering Catholic, so I don't believe in the programming of the God of this world. I believe in the God in you. I believe that there's things in you that you can see, and there's messages you get to give me. And I don't kill the messenger. I just take the message. Because that spark of life that's in you is in me. And I know some of y'all know each other for a long time. And your spirits have a conversation without you even acknowledging that they're having a conversation. And there's some unspoken language between you individuals that know each other on a spiritual level. And you know when you ask somebody how you doing and they say okay, you know they're bullshitting. That's the intuition that comes from your spirit that knows that that person's in pain. And what I found out is that most people just want to know that you care. And usually the second time I ask somebody how they doing, they usually tell me everything. Because they just want to feel safe. They just want a safe place to tell you everything. And this is what I learned here, man, is that some people are tougher nuts to crack. And I need to give you the time and space that you need to feel comfortable to talk about you. Not tell you about you. You know, we got the know-it-alls in here. They think they got PhDs and I know everything. But it doesn't work like that. Thank God there is no model for the recovering addict. Everybody in here could have a different path. Everybody. And the literature reminds me, the only way to work the program wrong is alone. That's the only wrong way to do it. So however you do it, if it works for you, let it keep working. But I know for me, I'm a follower of the crowd. Stay in the middle of the herd so I don't get picked off because I got a bright idea. Listen, I call my sponsor at least 5-6 times a week. I'm not new. I just want what he has, man. I don't walk around and supervise. I don't talk about, oh, I'll call my sponsor tomorrow and then it's 3 months later I ain't talking to him. No, no, no. I have a sponsor, I have a support network, and I have experienced members that, you know how you bowl? And we bring our kids to the bowling alley and do we pull out the bumpers? Sponsor, support network, experienced members, these are the bumpers in my life. So I don't gut a ball. These are the individuals I tell everything to. Doesn't matter if I like you. You may be the one that has a message for me for that day. But if you don't know the exact nature that I suffer from, how could you help me? So I need to tell you everything. And I don't care what you did, because I learned in treatment that if I put my garbage on the floor and you pick it up, it ain't my garbage no more, it's yours. You can't hurt me with my garbage. I let it go. Listen, beware, everybody in here is not for recovery. Listen, I know that we all suffering addicts, but some of us still like to suffer. We all not here to help each other. Some people are here to hurt you. Spirit of discernment will let you know who's who. Words are easy to speak, actions speak louder than words. That's why I'm a professional people watcher. I watch everybody. Like newcomers watch me, I watch them too. Yeah, I'm about to go to Paris to people watch. Yeah. Because you learn a lot about people by what they do. Like I was watching this movie the other day and it said, how you do anything is how you do everything. How you do anything is how you do everything. So I'm impeccable with my words. I mean what I say and I say what I mean. I'm not going to give you misinformation or misdirection. What you see is what you get. I'm still a little rough and tough around the edges. But when I love hard. And there's nothing you could do to stop me from loving you. Nothing. But you can have me back up off you and love you from a distance. I have to love everybody up close and personal. But if an addict calls me, because I've seen it. I've seen addicts throw chairs in business meetings. Yeah. And then next week a newcomer comes in and those same two addicts are helping that newcomer. But they was in a death bag match a week earlier. And here we don't carry that, man. We leave it right where it's at and move on. Right, our traditions talk about disagreeing without being disagreeable. Yeah. Where it means that I can exist with what I believe and you can exist with what you believe and neither one of us is wrong. That's what I love about our program. Nobody's always right. Nobody's always wrong. It's how it works for you. So I'd like to read something for y'all, because this is one of my favorite pieces in our literature. Most children, through experiences over a period of time, come to realize that the outside world cannot provide all their wants and needs. They begin to supplement what is given to them with their own efforts. As their dependency on people, places, and things decrease, they begin to look to themselves more and more. They become more self-sufficient and learn that happiness and contentment comes from within. Most continue to mature. They recognize and accept their strengths, weaknesses, and limitations. At some point, they usually seek the help of a power greater than themselves to provide things they cannot provide for themselves. For most people, growing up is a natural process. As addicts, however, we seem to falter along the way. We never seem to outgrow the self-centeredness of a child. That last line is my favorite line in Narcotics Anonymous because it tells you the exact nature of my disease. I want what I want when I want it, and if I don't get what I want, I'm going to throw a temper tantrum until I get what I want. Yeah. That's how I was in the beginning of Narcotics Anonymous. Big ass brat. But I learned to become self-sufficient. I learned that the outside world is not going to make me feel content. I learned that no people, no place, and no thing is going to make me happy. But listen, it came from trial and error. Thank God I'm in a program that deals with the disease of addiction and not a substance. Because some people say, oh, it's better than use today, I'm good. But yeah, no, not me. Because my disease likes to use other things. Right? Because it doesn't say, Larry, why don't you go pick up some drugs? No, it doesn't say that to me today. What it says is, Larry, don't take your medication. We know it's in the cabinet. Believe it in the cabinet. Right? You say, Larry, you need those sneakers, even though you got 5 brand new pair and you got 50 in the closet, you need those 3 more pair. Right? How many people got clothes in their closet that still got tags on it, and every time they look at it, like, yeah, I'm not going to wear that. Yeah, right? How many people eat food they know they're not supposed to eat? Right? I got a problem with ho-ho, ding-dongs, and Twinkies. Still, to this day, even though I'm a diabetic, it's a fight. But what about the subtleness of the disease, where it uses indifference, intolerance, self-righteousness, and judgment to keep me away from you? Right? And it works on why. It tells me why. See, our literature is great. I read it long enough, I can find everything that's wrong with me. The disease of addiction can manifest itself in a variety of mental obsessions and compulsive actions that have nothing to do with drugs. I sometimes find myself obsessed and behaving compulsively over things I may have never had a problem with until I stop using drugs. I may once again try to fill the awful emptiness I sometimes feel with something outside of myself. Anytime I find myself using something to change the way I feel, I need to apply the principles of the first step. And the first principle of step one is abstinence. You don't pick it up, you can't get high. You don't take the number, you can't cheat. You don't put it in shopping cart. You won't eat it. You mind your business and you won't say it. We're talking about how to keep the disease up off of me. Because this disease is insidious. You ever look at that word, insidious? It's a crazy word. Listen, newcomer, get a dictionary. Look up words. Don't let nobody tell you what the definition is. Go find it out for yourself. Insidious means happening without even being apparent. I don't even know it's got me. I don't even know. I'm in the Venus flytrap until it's too late. That's how the disease works. It doesn't come with a marching band. It comes like a thief in the night. It comes like COVID. You don't know you got it until you test positive. That's how the disease works. So I have to use you, my ultimate weapons, to keep me from hurting me. Because you're not my enemy, I am my enemy. By the shit I tell myself. This is the battlefield, right here. Right? Every walk in the meeting, all the motherfuckers don't like me. I'm not talking to them. Ah, fuck that. I'm not going to that meeting no more. They don't like me. You don't like you. Right? Disease is trying to set. Yeah, tells us in why we're here, right? That's what the whole convention is about. Why are we here? Well, and why are we here? It tells me why that happens. We did not choose to become addicts. We suffer from a disease that expresses itself in ways that are antisocial. That makes the detection, diagnosis, and treatment difficult. The antisocial nature is the disease wants to separate you from the help. So it could do whatever it wants with you. So it can play with you. You know how cats play with rats when they're dying? They be playing soccer all around the house. Right? And then it dies and they don't want to play no more. Well, the disease, that's the disease. It'll play with you until you're dead and I don't want to play no more. What I had to learn was the disease is not outside of me doing push-ups. The disease is me. I am my disease. I'm not fighting a fictitious force. I'm fighting me. I'm fighting the negative side of me. The hurt, the pain, the trauma. I'm fighting all of that. And they told me pain shared is pain lesson. So I tell y'all what's going on. So I don't carry it alone. I found out that me against the disease, I've never won. The disease is undefeated. When I institute the we, I've never lost. Never lost. Do you know what that sounds like? I've never lost against the disease. It may have won that round, but it doesn't win that day. Because I live moment by moment. And I don't drag the moments. When something bad happens to me, I call my sponsor, I call some support, I get some solutions, I institute some decisions, I let it go. I don't pick it back up. I let it go. If I can't change the reality of it, I accept and move on. Early in recovery, I couldn't let go. Right? Let go or get dragged. Not only in relationships do we get dragged. Sometimes we get dragged by things we can't accept. There's so much more power in letting go. And I learned that here. I learned how to let go. Not halfway, not partway, fully let go. And turn this over to this power that I say I believe in. But belief without action is fantasy. I have to exhibit that belief. And because I've watched y'all do it, and I've seen the outcome, let me try it. Because y'all told me if it worked for me, it may work for you. Doesn't say it's going to. But if I talk to enough people, and I try enough things, I will find my own prescription. Because this is not a one-stop shop. This is not one size fit all. We all suffer in various rates of recovery. We all didn't experience the same trauma. Like, it took me a long time to get connected to the feminine side of who I am. So I got a female sponsor for 3.5 years. So she can help me break down those walls and stop looking through the world through masculine eyes. So not only I'm a man standing in front of you, but there's part of me that I got from my mama. And I had to get in touch with that. Not recording?
Batteries.
Still recording? Okay. I had to get in touch with that part of me. So the reality of it is that a man can't teach me how to get to my feminine side. Only the women. That's their wheelhouse. That's their field of expertise. And that's who I went to. Not because I needed to, because I wanted to become a more holistic person. And not only look at the world through masculine eyes, machismo and me, Tarzan, and you, Jane. I'm part my father and part my mother. And because of the women in this fellowship, I've become softer. Become more caring, more compassionate, more understanding, more nurturing. Because of you women. Because this is a program of men, or we be Vikings. That's why we need y'all women. We need y'all women to soften us up. To allow us to put our guards down and become soft and cuddly and squishy. You know, become total human beings. And I'm grateful. I got some great women in my life. Because of this program, I got some aunties to replace the aunties that I was born into, but don't give two shits about me. I got some women in my life that play that position. Got some women in my life that nurture me like my mother couldn't, but they do. Like, I don't have to be connected to you by DNA for you to be family, as you can see, right? There's a lot of y'all in here that consider yourselves family that y'all not connected to by DNA. Y'all the family of choice. I chose y'all to be my family. Why? Because you faced the same fatal catastrophe I have and came out on the other side. We fight the same war against disease. And your experiences keep me from returning back to that dark place. I don't know if y'all remember that dark place. I don't go there no more. I don't even go to visit. When I feel like I want to go there, I'll call somebody. This is how I'm feeling. This is what's going on with me. Oh. So listen, man, I am truly, I love this program of Narcotics Anonymous. Y'all do not understand to the depths. Like many won't say, but for me, I come to this realization maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. The life that Narcotics Anonymous gave me, I would die for it. Because without Narcotics Anonymous, I would already been dead. I would already been dead. Without this program, I'd have been locked up or dead. And I don't want to be alive and dead, dying while I'm living. So this program gives me a chance to be the best me I can be. I don't know what the peak is yet. I'm still climbing the mountain. I don't know if I'll ever stop climbing the mountain. But I know I'm not going to get stuck in a despair. Because I have some people in here, man, that make this program attractive. And I'm grateful. When I came in here, they made it attractive. Like my first sponsor used to walk in the room, you know how we are, loud and rambunctious. And he would walk in the room and the room would start to quiet down. He didn't say a word. And the first thing I said as a newcomer is, I want that. I want people to feel my presence and not me not say a word. I want the ability to change the atmosphere of the room and not even whisper a word. And he was very in tune with his spirit, and you can feel his energy just quiet the room. I ain't there yet. But that's what I shoot for. I shoot for you to be able to feel me before I say anything. Because that means that because I have a relationship with my spirit, I have one with yours, even if you don't have one with yours. Because things work different in the spiritual realm. It don't work like it does in this natural world. Words are not needed. And I'm grateful that Narcotics Anonymous put me on that path for me to understand that this is only a reflection of that. And without that, this doesn't exist. So listen, man, I just got the 2 minutes and 45 minutes. So listen, this is what I gotta say. There's a couple of things I wanna say before I leave, y'all. Narcotics Anonymous has given me this thing. I used to always think when I was in a tunnel, I was waiting to get to the end of the tunnel. And when somebody told me, you're the light in the tunnel, I couldn't see that the light that I was looking for was in here. And when Narcotics Anonymous helped me turn it on, there was no more dark tunnel. You are the light that you're looking for. You are the light. And your job is not to light your path. Your job is to light their path. Because it gets returned, man. It really does, man. I don't know. I met Terry, 7, 8 years ago. I call him all the time when I'm struggling. when I need a direction, when I need a different perspective. If you don't have people like that, get some, man. I learned that I can't stay locked and loaded in what I think it is. I have to allow people to help me get to a different place, right? Everything that we know, everything is subject to revision, especially when we know about the truth. The reason why the truth is revised is because I get some new information. If I stay locked and loaded with the information I have, how do I grow? I still want to grow. And the final thing is, don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle. If you think that's the miracle, just wait 5 more minutes. There's another miracle coming around the corner. Thank you for letting me share.